Hi, this is Niles McClower for the new show, Why Life Is, right here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Now on BBS Radio, Why Life Is answers a vast number of questions and explores the demystifying of metaphysics and spirituality. Just a fraction of what we will cover are such subjects as detailed explanations of the afterlife, what the meaning of life is, and what intelligent life is like in other worlds. This is a show many of you have been waiting for to hear and participate in as well. Why Life Is has been on the air broadcasting for nearly 3 years and is now available on BBS Radio in prime time on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McClower. And we have another great show tonight dealing with metaphysics and spirituality and science and Christmas. Yeah, going to talk about Christmas. Only thing, I'm going to talk about Christmas 2030. I'm a forward-thinking guy, you know. So we could talk about Christmas today, and I sort of done that in some respects in the past. But this is going to be a show about my wish list for Christmas 2030 and what that would be like. It could be your wish list, too, if you want to call in. And you can be also listening on the telephone. I want to let you know that if you care to. And that's 712-432-0075 if you want to listen on the telephone rather than over a computer. If you are listening on a computer, it's best to not use the media flash player. That's the first option. That option doesn't work too good, and sometimes it fails while you're listening, and you have to dial back in or whatever, or get yourself back online. So at any rate, just wanted to remind you of those issues. We also have one of the manager's helpers, who is his twin brother, sounds just like him, and he's helping out tonight because Seth, the engineer, is off, and Don, the manager's gone. So basically, we got Doug. Doug is helping out. And so hopefully it's all going to run smoothly. But if it doesn't, you know, it's live light radio. And sometimes something doesn't exactly work right, which I guess only helps us all to know that we're fallible. And sometimes we don't get it exactly right. So tonight I wanted to talk about December, we'll call it 25th, 2030. Now, you might say, what? It's like 20 years from now, right? Yeah, it's 20 years from now. And because the reason for that is because I think it's worthwhile to consider what would we really want for Christmas 2030 rather than just for Christmas 2010. And the reason I believe that it's worthwhile to go 20 years ahead is to think about how we are part of what we receive through our own giving and gratitude and service and sacrifices in the interim time. So that's something that we're going to kind of think about and consider this evening. And I'm going to be talking about things that have to do with how energies are affecting planet Earth, and those energies I sometimes refer to as ray energies, but you can call them anything you want. It really has to do with 4 out of 7 being focused on the planet at any one time, and the other 3 are kind of out of focus. And we're in a change right now. And the 3rd ray is peaking, and it will peak at that famous time in the fall to the beginning of winter of 2012. And that peaking means that people who have been relying upon this energy for 600 to 700 years in time have reached the maximum use of it. And, of course, some of those people obviously are alive today. And those people may suffer some consequences if they've been using this energy selfishly. And it affects not just people but the whole planet. It affects all things in our world. Because when this energy is in focus, it strengthens the aspects of what that energy is about. And I'm going to use that energy and all the energies to kind of hallmark what I describe as my optimum Christmas. Now, that Christmas may be a little different than your Christmas. But my Christmas is not for myself. It's for the whole planet, for the world. So this is a Christmas that I think our world would really benefit from if we could make it happen. And we have that opportunity because we have 20 years, after all. We're talking about Christmas 2030. All right? So I'm going to also start from the seventh ray today rather than starting from the first or some other place. Now, why would I do that? Well, because when I have started from the first ray and talked about the rays in a number of different programs, it's so hard to get very much said about the poor seventh ray. He always gets the short end of the stick because I'm usually out of time. By the time I get to the seventh ray, and a lot of people say, "Well, what is that seventh ray thing all about anyway?" I kind of know about the first and the second and the third and the fourth, but the seventh seems to always become elusive. And so, for our purposes, we're going to kind of get into that and talk a little bit more about it than we usually do. So I'm going to start just with that. And to begin with, the seventh ray is really about organization. It's about how things get organized, and it's about materiality at its most, we'll say, densest way of being represented. And we are in the sea of it right now because we're all physically alive and therefore in the seventh dimension of time and space, the lowest dimension of time and space, called the seventh world, the seventh part of the universe. And this part of the universe is called the etheric physical part of our entire universe. A lot of people think that's all there is to the universe. As a matter of fact, some physicists think that's all there is to the whole universe is where we are right now. Boy, are they in for a surprise when they pass over to the other side and find out there's a bigger universe just waiting for them. But that's another story. Okay, so our part of the universe is really actually the smallest, the densest, is filled with the most amount of energy, but in a form that has a good deal of materiality to it, and the rest of it is mostly of electromagnetic types of energy. There's also some types of energy that are nuclear, but we don't need to really get too deep into the physics side of it right now. So we're really talking about the physical things and the electromagnetic or the wave kinds of things that are less particle-related as the seventh ray represents itself where we are, which is the physical universe. And the way it organizes itself is that it tends to have a hierarchy of order, we'll call it that, where the most economical use of the energies that are being used produces the most amount of order to the energy. So economy produces order. Well, that's a pretty interesting idea, if you think about it. And I'll get into that and explain more of it and why, et cetera, in a few minutes. But so economy produces order. Okay. But then a waste of energy in economy, a non-economical use of the matter and energy around us produces chaos or disorder. Okay. So if someone on a bed, let's use an example. Let's say either you or I decide that, it's coming on to Christmas 2030, and let's waste a lot of money let's waste a lot of time, let's waste a lot of everything that has anything to do with the matter and energy around us, and that will produce a more chaotic condition based upon the principles of how energy works and how much you either organize or disorganize it, okay? And then you can say, okay, well, then, so that's the principle. What happens when someone chooses or behaves in a way that is ignorant of this process and wastes a lot of resources of material and energy, form and energy? How does that then relate to this chaos that happens? Well, the way it relates is that the organization and the economy come together through the giving use of each energy, not the having or taking of the energy. So you can't, let me give you an example of this. You cannot have a 1,000 tons of gold and keep it in a vault where you don't give it away and expect that that energy that is in the form of gold is going to produce for you an organized sense of wealth. It's going to produce instead chaos, because the principle is that as you give more of the gold to others in a wise way that helps them to discover things like truth and all kinds of virtues, if you give it, then that helps the whole system to maintain a level of organization. But if you hold on, let's say I hold on to all my gold, I got 100 or 1,000 tons of gold. That's a lot of gold. And I decide that I'm not going to use it in any way that is giving to others in wisdom, that helps others to better themselves, that helps others to feel better, to grow more, to be able to create more virtue, more of light in themselves and others. I just want to hang on to this stuff. Then I'm removing from the universe some of the energy that could be enlightening the universe. And by doing that, I darken, I don't know if that's a word, but we'll call it darken the universe. And the result is that the universe becomes chaotic because others are finding they don't have enough gold to do the things that would be enlightening because I've got so much of it sitting somewhere doing nothing except making me feel better, maybe. And that's the principle. That's how it works. It's kind of an unusual thing. So for something to produce a enlightening organization that is helpful and good, it needs to be given in wise ways to others. And if it's taken or held onto, or both, it produces chaos and reduces the light in the world. So, what am I going to suggest with this? This is an interesting concept, a little hard to understand, particularly when you start from the seventh ray, which is what we're really talking about right now, rather than the first and work your way down, because we're starting from the minimalist side. But I hope that that explains some of it. I hope that explains some of it. So then you can say, well, then what else is there that happens if you hold on to the gold? Well, if you hold on to the gold, you lose something called diversity. So in other words, even if I held on to the gold and spent it, but I only spent it on myself, I would decrease the diversity of creation because only I would be using it. Whereas if I give it and use it for the benefit of others by creating things that helps everyone else. Then I increase diversity, and this makes everybody else, or helps to make everybody else more creative, and allows them to be, at their choosing, of course, more virtuous and to create more light in the world. Wow. These are the basic principles of how businesses and free markets and some of the aspects, the micro aspects of economy work. And it's a very interesting thing to realize that the use of things and how we have and hold and give and sell things has a remarkable impact on everyone else. So my choice for Christmas 2030 is that the nature of money itself will change. To begin with, money right now is based upon the principle, at least in the United States, which controls most of the way money is used in the world, by the way, that the value of the money is the value of the stability of our government. Now, here's a problem. Governments, even if they have good intentions, are neither economical, nor are they very wise in the way that they give, nor are they very diverse in the way that they give and help to create diversity. They do all those things very badly. As a matter of fact, sometimes the exact opposite is in the ways that they should be done. And so they, by making the government the foundation of the money that you use, is like putting the whole thing on quicksand. And it produces some very bad effects. What are those bad effects? It usually leads to rounds of inflation, and then stagnation, which we call recession, sometimes depression, and an inability to have anything other than chaotic markets, because then the government tries to prevent the chaos in the markets by becoming over-controlling, which only produces more chaos, because the government doesn't have the ability to wisely choose the right things to do on a moment-to-moment basis. Only the collective consciousness of people working in a godly way can do that, and government cannot. So what is it that I wish in my Christmas list, 2030? That we go not back to the gold standard, which is a little limiting, but to a standard not too different in concept, but different in diversity and size, where money is based upon the things that are most controlling on the economy. And so money needs to be based upon some commodities, inclusive of a thing called HE3. Now, what is that? It's something that exists only in the most minuscule amounts here on Earth, but will become, by the year 2030, one of the most valuable things for people to have. Because HE3 is a means of making almost limitless amounts of energy with virtually no pollution, and it's available throughout our solar system in various places. It happens to be in prodigious amounts on the moon, Earth's moon. It's also available on Jupiter, and if you get too close to the sun, you can get some there, too. You might not like the temperatures. But the moon is the easiest way to get it, and within the next 10 years, people are going to get it. Unfortunately, the United States isn't. So we better be thinking about that. That's one of the things we would want to value. Gold and silver and platinum and iridium and palladium and other metals that are important for uses other than just because they're kind of neat the way they look or something. are good things to include in this index, we'll call it, of determining the value of money. Another thing would be a thermoelectric compound that they're working on, but have not got it completed yet. The most sensitive one right now produces electric heat from about 425 to 450 degrees Fahrenheit and above. But once we get down to around the boiling temperature of water, 200 to 212 degrees, we could make super amounts of electricity just from the heat of the sun, along with a lot of other waste heat principles. And that thermoelectric material right now is projected to be able to be cost like 100 times more than its weight in gold, if and when they can ever make it work. So we need to put that in the index, because that's going to be another very valuable kind of thing based upon what we know today. Things could change, and maybe we'll figure out a way to do it more cheaply. But right now, that's kind of like a very valuable thing. So I would throw that in there. Now, what else would I throw in? Well, I wouldn't want to use some commodities like food, because food, you have to have tremendous amounts of it to have a small, relatively small amount of value in money. And we don't want to have that much food laying around. We want people to actually be using it, and that wouldn't be good to have. But there are some other things that might be definitely of significant value. Some of them may be weird kinds of things. Let me give an example. In quantum physics, there are certain states that you can create in quantum physics, which could be very helpful in encryption and other factors. But the creation of these states can only be done in a very small scale and is extremely expensive at the present time. That might be one of the economic indicators as a value to our money in 2030. So it can be almost something that is literally an intellectual kind of property, if you could imagine that, besides just the physical part of the world. There's lots of other things. I think I'm giving you the idea here. And we're going to have, in my wish list, a money that is based upon something that has tangibility and limitability, and that you can't just print more of because you're called government, which screws up everything. It's based upon the ability to make and produce the most advanced kinds of and valuable kinds of things. It's even better than gold. Gold wasn't too bad for a couple hundred years ago. Today it's a rather limited use. We need something, could include gold, but something much wider than that. So that's my first kind of basis, starting with this model. Let's change the money. Let's make money something that government can't fiddle with, and that is recognized as something of value to virtually everybody in the world. It gives it, there's enough indicators in it, it gives it value to some societies more than others, but we include enough things so almost everybody is touched by it and can recognize its value. I like that. I find that to be very comforting in some respects. Now, you could say, well, why can't we just make it on the faith of the government? Because if you have faith in the government, you better watch out. There's only one place to put your faith, and that's in God. Everything else is filled with greed and corruption and issues of foolery and stupidity. We don't want to put our faith in those things. Government has all of those things. Okay, what else then can we do with our, we'll call it, model Christmas? Well, the neat thing about it is now we're talking about things. So the wise giving of things, under using the seventh ray model, will be that we help others to become more economical, more organized, and to be better at giving themselves in the same way, that is economic and organized, to others as we give to them. I'm not saying we shouldn't go shopping for Christmas 2030. I'm just saying the rules change. Now you're looking for ways of helping people to become better organized, better economically, and to help others to do the same while they're becoming wiser givers themselves. Those are the kinds of things you're going to give to other people. So shopping is going to be a little more demanding and a lot different in terms of what we're going to be shopping for and what we give to others. The things we'll be shopping for probably, for the most part, have not yet hit the marketplace, and they may only be in the minds of some people right now. Wow. Now, does that mean we can't go out and buy someone a sweater? Well, yeah, I guess you can if they really needed one, if that would make them more organized and economical. Sure, there are different ways that you can express this. I don't want you to think that there's some kind of law that's going to come out and say, okay, you can only buy these kinds of things. No, no, just the opposite. We'll get to that as we move up the hierarchy of ray energies and focus into a new ray energy and a higher ray energy. You'll see that there's greater freedom coming, way greater freedom for my Christmas in 2030. Okay, so let's move on to the next ray type of energy, and that's emotional energy by some people's standards, or astral energy. And the thing that's kind of neat about astral energy is that it involves how people feel. So what we're really doing in our Christmas of 2030 is we're looking for ways to improve the way that people feel, so that they can create more virtue with other people. They won't be despondent. They won't feel helpless and out of control, overly controlled, downtrodden, betrayed, stolen from, hurt. They won't feel any of those things. Instead, they're going to feel more love and more of the ability to be in a joyful and hopefully more creative state of mind and feeling because of what we give to them. Now, how do we do that? Well, the first thing is gratitude. We need to show and express gratitude to all those who have given anything and everything in the last year or years before Christmas 2030. That expression is not as easy as it might seem, because there may be many people that we need to be grateful to that we don't even personally know, at least not until Christmas 2030. We're going to try to express our gratitude to those people by helping to contribute something to the things they've contributed to everyone else. Ooh, that's going to be on our Christmas list. That's quite a Christmas list. And it's going to be, we're going to give to those people and to others as well, in ways to help them to feel better. The first is the gratitude itself will do that. Secondly, rather than just gratitude, which in itself is a wonderful thing, we're going to look for ways to participate in those things that we're grateful for. We need to become a participant, pay it forward if you like, of ways to get into the game. Use the things that have been given to us that we're so grateful for in ways that helps others the way it helped us. Make sure it gets spread around. That's one of the greatest ways of showing gratitude, because you recognize what's being given to you so much better when you participate in the giving yourself in wise ways. A fantastic idea. And we will look for ways to have joy in our hearts and through our actions by seeing that joy spread through everybody else's interactions with us. That will be the great, great sixth ray focus, as well as, now I'm going to get into this thing we call faith and religion. We're going to choose in 2030, this is my wish list again, to look at our religions as guideposts for finding God, but not as ways of living vicariously through the church in its means of giving, because then the church becomes no different from the government. I'm not against any churches. I'm against people following only a church rather than finding their way of co-creating with their creator or God. So I'm suggesting that the church becomes a guidepost, but not the only vehicle of expression. And this will change, I believe, as people gain a better understanding of the relationship of their religion to God in general, instead of finding their religion is God. Religion is something created by us, humans, to help us to better find God, but we still should be finding it ourselves on an individual level. And that hasn't been taking place in some parts of religion. So much so, people have been killing who knows how many people in the name of religion for how long, forever almost, and have done so with impunity, believing that they're following God when they're following some written edicts that are claimed to come from God by a specific religion. That's the danger. So hopefully by 2030, we've learned this. The majority, the vast majority of people on Earth now think and feel this way. Again, their feelings are important because they have changed. We're still on the sixth ray here. So now, rather than just finding joy in giving, etc., there's joy in the openness and diversity of expression of ways of finding God. We relish in the fact that 1,000 religions may be existent in which people are all using the guideposts of that religion to find their way of expressing themselves more in God. And the things that are grotesque and dangerous and destructive, that really aren't guideposts at all, but are terrible, terrible obstacles and destructive mechanisms, will be left and gone, hopefully by 2030. So the idea that we're going to jihad a billion people because they're not following our religion, they're doing their thing, that's going to be gone. How does it get going? It gets going by love and by gratitude and by awareness and education and wisdom and people beginning to experience God as a real source rather than trying to find God through the words of a religion that are confused and have great darkness within them sometimes. Okay, that's a good thing. This is, again, my wish list for 2030. It can become yours if you want. And maybe if we all get together with a similar wish list, it doesn't have to be anywhere near the same, we might be able to make some changes. So in 20 years, we can really get there. We can really reach that point that is so meaningful and special. But what else is important about feeling? Well, kind of the last element of feeling is that we respect and care about people who are very different from us, who we don't know, who we have almost no connection with whatsoever, and who sometimes even irritate us. Why is that so important? Because it is important for us to recognize that God created the diversity in the seventh right issue, in the economy versus the organization, etc., so that we can learn something about finding a different path to be co-creative with God, so we can eventually become free. And so that we can grow our own creator, help to grow it. Each one of us, is every living thing is a part of the growth of God. And once we begin to recognize that and practice that, then the feeling takes us over of universal love and of a sense of oneness with all life, rather than fighting and having antagonism towards life in general. Now, what about evil? Because that's a kind of exception to what I just said. Well, God created freedom so that human beings can make the choice to be co-creative and find God. Lower animals, etc., have to follow more structured kinds of rules and thoughts because they don't have the full consciousness of a human being, and so they aren't yet ready to make this change. But some humans negate God and turn away from God, or say it doesn't even exist, God's non-existent. Those people are open to becoming possessed by evil. Evil is a state of mind and action in which it promotes the feeling of hatred and indifference to life. Hatred of anything that grows more of God and indifference to life in general, because life becomes just something that evil uses to trap and engross in its power and use and suck life out of it. It's a terrible thing. Evil is not God's choice for humanity. Evil is the result of God's choice for humanity to be free. In order for us to be free, we have to be free to choose evil if that's what we want to have happen. Not because God wants that, but because it's inevitable. It can't be stopped if we're really free. If you stop it, if you say, oh, I'm going to prevent all evil from happening because I'm God, you then prevent much good from happening. And the freedom that's so critical in the entire process, which we'll talk more about when we get to that level later in the show, vanishes. And so the feeling of being free, the feeling of being able to make the choice, unfortunately, to be good or bad, to move towards darkness and to even go into evil, that feeling will disappear. And that feeling is critical. As much as it frightens us to have the feeling of freedom to become evil, it also emboldens us to fight evil and to become, and by choice, a part of good. It's absolutely necessary for human beings, and only human beings, to go through this, because we need to fully understand the nature of our Creator. And we can't understand it if we don't go through some of these disappointing and terrible periods. I know many of you wish that wasn't the case. Even I do at times. And I'll tell you a little bit about that more when we come back from break, because right now I'm part of a spiritual group that's dealing with evil. So it's interesting how it affects us. I'll finish this part about the sixth type of energy, six-way energy, and how it's affecting things and feelings when we come back from break. And we're going to do that coming up right now, except we will be back in about 2 minutes and 30 seconds from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower, MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight's show is about Christmas 2030. I'm thinking ahead. Why not? That's 20 years. It gives us 20 years to maybe get there. I wanted to complete what I was just saying about evil, because it just is a little anecdotal story. For years, the group I'm a member of, the spiritual group I'm a member of, various members in various times, have been under attack, but the whole group, in a sense, is, from evil, just evil. The players, some of them do or do not know that they are evil. I think the highest, most evil players may know they're evil, but there's a lot of other players involved that may not. So our job is to get these people that aren't quite evil to see that they may be evil, and to get the whole world to recognize that there is an evil that is significant, to as much of the world as we can to do that, and that's coming. We've had to wait until this time to, and even another month or two, to reveal all this because of laws that prevent us from doing what we're doing otherwise. And then the other part about this is it's a very interesting part, is it gives us the opportunity to face evil without fear, because in the beginning parts, as often is the case, evil is a very powerful thing, and human beings don't do too well unless there's a huge number of them dealing with the evil, because the evil works by power, and we work through spirit and power, and evil just works from power. So the result can be that the evil can be victorious on a, we'll say, a limited or minimalistic scale. It may not seem so minimal or limited if you're involved in it, because it could involve terrible consequences on a short-term basis. But in the long-term basis, these consequences are what help to allow you to expose the evil to others, because others can't see evil very well. Why can't humans see evil? It's because we're afraid of it. And our own fears prevent us from wanting to believe in it. So we make up excuses. Well, they're just others who didn't have good upbringing, they weren't educated well, social dynamics were involved, they had poor teachers, you know, this or that bad thing happened to them. It made them evil. Well, that flies in the face of how many individuals have gone through similar or worse things and didn't become evil. So evil is something much more than that. It's evil is a choice to turn away from God, sometimes caused by bad things, but nonetheless nonetheless a choice. And the best thing that can happen to evil is that it becomes exposed. And once it becomes exposed, it many times cannot continue the process that it has been in of evolving itself into a more powerful being, because its power is lost when others recognize it as evil. And it may remedy itself in some circumstances, but at the very least, it will become impotent in a short time. And that's what you want to have happen. You don't want it spreading. Kind of evil we're dealing with is major corruption at some of the highest types of levels in the political situation in the state. It has to do with courts and court systems. It has to do with people with great amounts of wealth and their misuse of that wealth. We already went through some of that in this show tonight. And it also has to do with people wanting power and control for its own sake and using their power to achieve goals that they may not be able to achieve through real justice or through truth. So they ignore those elements and they just use their power and control and influence to get where they want to go. So evil is a very, very bad feeling kind of thing. If you're the victim of evil, it's similar to feeling like you're being raped in a wanton fashion by some source that you have no control over stopping. But if you recognize that you're part of God, and God is far more powerful than evil is, you realize that this is a temporary issue that has to be allowed to occur, or you're not going to be able to expose evil, and then you're not going to be able to do what you need to do about it, assuming that you're choosing to do something about it. The choice to do something about evil is a bad, bad problem for some people, because it's a great thing, the choice to do something. But it encourages the need to then sacrifice and to allow yourself to be victimized for a while so that you can expose the evil, because there's no way around it. So it's a kind of double-edged sword. It's a wonderful thing to know that eventually you're going to be able to do it. It's a terrible thing, while very bad thing as far as feelings are concerned, while it's happening in the interim period, and you can do little or nothing about it. So these are the kinds of things that we need to recognize as far as our feeling structure is concerned, and I wanted to complete that with about evil. So let me move on now to the next ray focus, the next type of energy that I would like to see change for Christmas 2030 and the way it expresses itself in our world. And oh, by the way, I wanted to say, but in 2030, I would be hoping that many more people will be standing up to evil and willing to go through the great, terrible, the bad, bad feeling way of sacrifices that are necessary to expose evil and to do away with it. I just hope that's true. Okay, so we move on now to the fifth type of ray energy. And this type of ray energy has to do with truth and science, and how those are developed and become more a part of our world. At the present time, science is very untruthful. It's about 95% of the time untruthful. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that the scientists who function today function from a very ego-centered place. Rather than doing what they write about, which is that they should test everything and gladly try to expose what's wrong with their own thought and be humble, etc., most scientists try to do the opposite, the majority. Try to convince others that their way of thinking is right, that their system of thought is proven by whatever experiments they made, and to belittle and demean others who have different opinions, particularly if those opinions are newer and less proven, even if they seem to be working at the time. So science is driven by arrogance and egotism today, about 95% of it. And when that happens, about 95% of it is wrong. And then the worst part about science today is that it doesn't admit when it's wrong and does something really goofy when it can go no further in its own errors of thinking. It pretends as though it was thinking the new way, which seems to be working better, right from the get-go, and ignores the fact that for years it may have obstructed and even lied about the truth. Science should be a model of finding truth because it uses mental types of processing about concepts and examples of those concepts, sometimes called thought forms, and tries to find truth through comparisons of contradictions and of, we'll say, support for various thoughts. Unfortunately, this is not the way science has been working over the ages and is still today, like I said, 95% the wrong direction. There's 5% of science that is, this is an approximate number, that is seeking truth at any cost, regardless of how much a person looks foolish or made a mistake or loses fundings or loses fame because their science is not right. So my thought for and my wish for Christmas 2030 is the following, that we reverse that, that 95% of science is truth, is the seeking of truth, and the recognition that any particular truth we have today may not be the truth of tomorrow, that all the things that we consider to be accurate and correct because our theories seem to be working out at the moment are open to change, and if challenged, should be challenged first by us who believe them to be true rather than others who have to fight against us. We need to be 95% more humble. So humility becomes the great new science, the science of being tremendously humble. And all or most of the arrogance that we see today, along with most of the egotism, will be a thing from 2010. And we'll say back in the days of 2010, when we lacked humility, we lacked truth. And now we have it. And it's a great gift for Christmas. And in our humility, we act as an example for all the ones that have not yet achieved it, the 5% maybe by 2030. And we wish them the best and try to help them as best we can, but recognize that some may still be stuck in it, but hopefully nowhere near the vast majority that are today. This relieves us of the need to be right so that we can practice the true meaning of Christmas in loving others rather than trying to be right in and with others. That's my wish for 2030 in the use of the fifth type of brain energy. It would lead to huge amounts of new inventions and new methods of creating in form and using form and using energies to be of help and service to life everywhere. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Science has great, great merit when you get rid of the stupid egotism and arrogance, and you have a system of true humility with a true openness and seeking of truth. Wow. A society based upon truth. Fantastic. I really like it. Okay. What's next? Let's talk about the concepts of the fourth type of energy, which is just starting to come in now. It's been out of focus for hundreds of years, coming back in focus. It's going to start becoming more dominant after 2012. Yes, that important year is coming. And as it dominates over the third type of energy, which we'll talk about after the fourth, It has the ability to make our world more beautiful, more spiritual, to give us a sense of, we'll call it, the appealing element of finding God by the awareness of beauty in a vast number of new parts of the expression of the fourth ray. Today, the fourth ray is at its peak of almost peak of ugliness. Ugliness. What does that mean? That means that the things that we experience that are supposedly art or some artistic expression, be it music or visual arts, including movies, or any form of art, is weak. It's weak in its expression of beauty. What is beauty? Beauty is a part of form that allows the form in its particles and waves to stimulate through the particle and wave energies our senses, so that our senses become cleared of retained energy, balanced in their expression of energy, and beautified in their energy. When is energy beautified? When it is able to be used, the sense is able to be used in a way which creates more of God, makes more virtue. So by making us more virtue, by just experiencing the form, because the form itself exhibits beauty, which changes our senses, we then can become much more spiritual and balance our spirituality better with our material side. That's what beauty does. And that's what's coming, I hope, in Christmas 2030. The world will be a phenomenally more beautiful place, because most of the things we experience will stimulate our awareness or our senses so that we become more virtuous. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And we will create more virtue because of this great awareness increase. Now, that means that the movies you see, that means that the books you read, it means that the music you listen to, and much, much more, will bring to a new heightened level your ability to create, our ability to create virtue in 2030. What an amazing and wonderful plan that is. And I'm looking way forward to that, because it seems as though these days, watching a movie can be a relatively heroic event. Because just to make it through all the ugliness and terror that's going on the screen is in itself an amazing thing. You might say, why even do it? Well, in our case, in my case, and those I know, we do it to keep a kind of pulse on how dark things are getting. Even though some of the things we see we don't even want to watch or don't want to experience, we need to some extent, to know where the world's at and what we can do to help solve the problems. It's another kind of sacrifice, you might say. So, with that thought in mind, I want to give you some more information about our new product that we have. Yes, it's available. You can order it. And thanks to all those who already did, we had a lot of orders that we fulfilled this week for people who are interested in Phi Chi Jizik. That's the new product that we have produced ourselves. It's a creation. It's not just an amalgamation of putting together a few ingredients off the shelf. We actually make every one of the ingredients itself and then combine them in ways they've never been used before. And it produces an amazing painkiller. I don't care what kind of pain you have. It's likely this formula will work on it. And if it doesn't, for any reason, you're not happy, send it back. Get your money back. That's it. No questions asked, although we would like to know why it didn't work for you if you wanted to let us know. But you don't have to. You can try it. At the present time, we even have some samples available for some folks who are a little too suspicious. Oh, I'll try some of that, but I don't want to pay. But, well, okay, if that's where you're at, we might be able to work that out with you. We have a limited supply, so we can't go too far with that. We would prefer that you just order some, and if it really doesn't work for you, we'll give you your money back, really. And what does it do? Well, it balances the energies in the natal system. What's the natal system? Well, that's that system with all the meridian lines that you see in some types of acupuncture places, etc., Chinese medicine books, etc., because there's an energy that flows through us called qi. It's the first of the kundalinis. Some people refer to it as pingala. That's another name for it. Qi energy is wonderful because it's the energy of life. If it isn't flowing through you, you're not alive. And those things that it cannot flow through, like a rock, usually cannot have qi in it, those aren't alive. So by definition, something's alive if it has some qi energy moving through it. Even the smallest prion or virus, or these are very small living things, even those have to have some level of qi to be alive. Sometimes they can suspend their qi until they find the host. Those are scary dudes. Okay. And when they, if they're diseases, they look for a host that they can steal qi from. That's not very good. And you become a host when you have too much qi in one place that's not moving. Qi has the condition that it must be moving through the natal system in a balanced and even rate. And there can't be too much or too little of it in any one of the centers that it helps to enliven. There's about 370 minor centers and seven major centers that the qi flows through. Each minor center is usually connected to two of the major centers, one in a positive, or we'll call it masculine way, and the other in a more negative way. And so these energies are moving through us. And Phi Chi Jizik tries to reestablish the energies so that something called devonic pain, which is the kind of pain that is caused by this qi being out of whack, is reduced or eliminated. And that's what Phi Chi Jizik does. It gets rid of the pain that's caused by the misuse of the qi energy. And that's the reason we call it Phi Chi Jizik. You see, that's really interesting. The Phi part has to do with the fact that we're using herbs. And the herbs are actually composed of phytochemicals, which each chemical is combined with many other chemicals to produce part of the plant that controls a certain kind of qi. So there's a relationship between chemistry, and which is a Western science, and Phi Chi, or qi, which is an Eastern science, and they go together. That's why we call it Phi Chi Jizik. If you use this stuff, every time you use it, it improves its response because it becomes more and more effective in balancing the energies. It's very hard just to take a lot of it and balance all the energies where the pain's coming from in one dose. The body doesn't respond that quickly, so usually it takes several over time and it gets rid of all the pain. But it lowers the pain considerably just from one serving size or dose. It's amazing how it works. You can take as few as one or two, or a maximum of 10, at least for one time, usually 8, though, and depending upon the level of pain. And if you go to a physician who's willing to work with you, you can take even more. But we say not to use it in greater quantities or more often than a certain level without there being someone who is a qualified healthcare professional who knows what they're doing with the stuff, because it's as strong as you want to make it. It can be as strong as the very strongest narcotic type of painkillers available. It can be that strong, but it works in a different way. Instead of numbing the demonic energies and reducing the amount that we sense of the pain, it rebalances the energies and literally gets rid of the pain. Sometimes it can also get rid of the conditions that cause the pain, which is very important, but we're not allowed to really say that because that would be treating an illness. You can't treat an illness unless you use a drug, according to the FDA anyway. And this is not a drug. This is a dietary supplement. You don't need a prescription, and you have the right, at least today you do, the right to use it as you see fit. Now, getting back to the fourth ray. The fourth ray is involved with things like the healing arts, particularly it's something that deals with beauty and 5-Chi. It actually is part of beauty to reestablish qi energy. And so the art of creating herbal formulas has to deal with the art of creating beauty in the body, and it is a fourth-ray principle. So you can say the 5-Chi Jizik is really part of the fourth ray. It has to deal with the body in a very fourth-ray manner. And it makes the inside of us more beautiful, so eventually the outside will be too. And pain comes from a lack of beauty. It comes from a coarse, ugly kind of, we'll say, force-driven effect. One energy against another energy instead of helping, and that produces this sense of pain. The pain is there to let us know that we're not producing beauty, but rather we're producing an ugly, terrible, forceful condition or conditions within ourselves. That's why 5-Chi Jizik works so wonderful. And it's a very beautiful formula. It's even a beautiful pill, if you can imagine that. I think they are. They really are easy to swallow, and they're not small. They just go down very, very easily. And I like that. And each one has a lot of herb in them because of the way we managed to put them together. Getting a lot of bang for the buck. If you want to buy 5-Chi Jizik, by the way, you can. I should let you know how to do that. Yeah, you can call 602-431-5762 and you can order the 5-Chi Jizik. I don't know if this website's up yet, but it should be. You can go to www.buyjizik.com. And if you can't get it through that, go to sales@buyjizik.com. sales@buyjizik.com. I know that's a little complicated to remember all that. And you can get two different bottle sizes. You can get a 30-count bottle for $20. That's sort of like a trial and travel size. And you can get a 100-count bottle for $50, $49.95 to be exact. That's a more economical way to buy it. And depending upon what your needs are, a 100-count bottle can last a long time. It can last a short time. You get some severe pain, you can go through that bottle a few days. But that's like severe, really, really bad. And you'd probably be spending more money trying to get shots or whatever if you went to the emergency room or whatever, trying to deal with it. 5-Chi Jizik, by the way, works on things like migraine headaches. Amazingly. Yeah. If you use it near its maximum suggested serving sizes for a day or two, no more migraine headache, and you reduce the frequency that you're going to get them coming back, and it'll work better the next time because, again, you're working on the sources of the pain rather if you don't have to take the maximum amount, you probably never know you took it, other than got rid of the pain. Near the maximum amount, you start feeling the effects of it more. So that's one of the reasons why when you go beyond the maximum non-prescriptive level, then you should go see a doctor and use it that way. Because then you're getting into such high levels that you have to be careful that it doesn't have not adverse effects, but just say make you too drowsy or whatever. You could possibly judge that for yourself, but we still think that going to see a professional person is a good idea with that. So it's part of beauty. Tai Chi Jizik. It's part of this fourth race. So what am I hoping for that's going to happen for Christmas? That not only do we increase the awareness of people, but people become aware that this kind of treating, of healing people, is very worthwhile. Because we've got a lot of different formulas for a lot of different things. We're hoping to see people use more of this and less of the forceful methods of, quote-unquote, some of the prescriptive medicines, which shouldn't be completely eliminated, but they oftentimes don't work for almost any of the chronic diseases. They work for some very short-term uses and for sometimes serious injuries, but not very well for chronic illnesses. Itgzic and those kinds of products are much more effective for the chronic side of the situation. All right, so let's talk about the third type of energy. Let's go into a little bit about that. Now, that's the energy that has been focused in our world since the 13th century, the beginning to the middle of the 13th century. That has been focused. That's the energy that builds civilization, builds communication between people, and those are good things, communication in general, actually. And it's an energy that is the most prevalent in human society. It has tremendous effects on everything. It is the energy that leads to, especially at its changing, when it's coming in or going out, wars. It's an energy that has a profound effect on the development of a big kind of banking system and we'll say mega economy, not micro economy like the seventh, right, but mega economy systems. And it also affects police and just a huge range of civilization. Civilization is the use of the lower kingdoms to supplement our own bodies and senses. That's what it's about. So the third ray is really there for that purpose. It has reached its peak, and will peak exactly about 2 years from right now. Yeah. Be at its highest point, but it's slowing down, and it's slowing down rapidly down. And as it slows down, the people that rely upon this extra energy being focused on their throat chakra are finding there's not enough energy because it's slowing down and they were using it at an increasing rate and it's catching up with them. And they're making terrible mistakes in the mega economy part of our society. We've seen that, of course, on a worldwide basis in the United States especially. Also, we're making mistakes in terms of how we do and don't use our military. We're making mistakes about areas of policing. We're making mistakes about all areas of communication. You know, people are Twittering more often, but talking almost not at all. I think that's a crazy idea. Emails, Twitters, one-way communication. Oh, you can answer in another Twitter, but you can't really have a dialogue. It's sort of like a stepped monologue. One person, the next back and forth. These are not the best ways for us to be communicating. And they don't build a society that has a lot of virtue. They build a society with a great number of forces. Every time you email somebody and they don't understand what you said, and they email you back a misunderstanding and then you don't understand what they're saying, you're building forces between yourself and them that could lead to terrible errors and a lot of failures. This is one of the problems with the present system, and it's getting worse. Now, how do we deal this as the third ray completely goes out? Well, we need to be more virtuous by far in the use of the third ray, so we don't need the added energy focused in on our throat chakras so that we can accomplish doing things and being creative. You can be as creative as you need to be and want to be without any ray focus of any energies on you, provided you do it with spirit, with the thought of God in your doing. As long as it's for and with God's thought, you need no other energy given to you or replacing what you're expending. You'll have all you need. So this is a temporary thing about focusing energies because so many people are failing to co-create with their creator. That's the basic problem. So I'm hoping by Christmas 2030 that we've got the majority of the folks focused on spirit in the spiritual life rather than a material life and focused more on co-creating with God, being virtuous, in all the elements that society or civilization is created from. And guess what that will bring? We'll have a tremendous boost in civilization rather than the destruction which we're heading for possibly in the next, well, right now, in the next few years. We can change all that by choosing to focus our attention on and with God rather than on and with material outcomes. That doesn't mean we won't have material outcomes. It just means they won't be accompanied by great forces. Have you noticed that in the last dozen or so years, the more things that society creates, the more we have unexpected consequences that usually lead to great forces and problems? It's almost like every time you turn around, you hear about another one of those. Well, that's really the effect of this third ray reaching its maximum level and people not creating with God, but sometimes in ignorance of God or even against God. So this is the thing to be concerned about. The third ray is a huge, huge ray in a way that affects everything humanity does. And its change is going to have many, many changes in our world. We can make them positive, provided we become more spiritual as quickly as we can. And the replacement of the third ray with the fourth ray is no accident, because the fourth ray is trying to balance that lack of balance in spiritual versus material thought. Instead of wanting things, we need to want to be creative and co-creative with God. And the outcome may be some things, but the most important outcome will be a virtuous world, a society based on virtue in which the things that are created are not destroyed by forces, a society that is therefore not self-destructive, which our present society unfortunately is. So in 2030, my wish is for a society that has a future as bright as can be, one in which the people in that year are looking towards a future of tremendous accomplishment in civilization, but one that doesn't have the forces and the destructive elements built into them that will lead to the worst of the worst events instead of the best of the best. I'm reminded in 2029, we're going to be visited by a relatively nasty asteroid. It'll be coming back 5-6 years later, right before 2036. And if it doesn't strike Earth in 2029, the end of 2029, actually, It just might in 2036. If this asteroid were to strike Earth, most of the people on Earth would be killed. And most of the life on Earth went in. That's because it's traveling at such a great rate of speed. It has so much energy that if it were to strike the Earth, it would produce a hellish condition or conditions that would just almost immediately destroy a great deal of life. And then over the next tens of years, much of the rest of life would succumb from the fallout effects of this terrible, destructive act. Most people don't know this is coming. But for 2030, my hope is that we have reached a point where that asteroid is moved over into a nice, safe place away from Earth, where we have gained a sense of capability with the universe around us to understand that these things are there to challenge us, that we work together and produce a wonderful outcome. And hopefully the president or presidents before 2030, unlike the present president, won't be telling the head of NASA to promote more of Islam and forget about trying to develop a better science under NASA. But they'll be saying, it'd be a good idea to maybe come together with a really, really efficient means of both travel in space and the ability to change the course of both asteroids and, much more difficultly, comets, so that Earth can remain protected. But we can all work together in reasonable ways to take over the reins, so to speak, of what's going to happen to Earth. Because we're responsible now, we have been for the last 30 or 40 years, of where this planet's really headed. We just haven't recognized it yet. And part of the recognition is understanding that the third ray empowers man, empowers humans, to take charge of this world over time and from now on. So that's an important element of the third ray we should all be aware of. Okay, let's move on. We got this is a great show because we got just the right amount of time to finish the show. I love it. All right, so let's move on to the second ray and what I envision for Christmas 2030 for the second ray. Well, the second ray really deals with the question of consciousness and education. At the present time, our education is mostly not meant to develop consciousness, not formal education anyway. It's mostly designed to increase knowledge and to make a person technically operative in some ways for vocational purposes in many cases. This is its primary emphasis. But I want the primary emphasis to change to the development of consciousness. How do I see that happening? Well, my suggestion is that we start developing schools that focus on developing consciousness rather than knowledge. Knowledge can be part of the school's focus, but only as it develops more consciousness. Consciousness is the ability to take two or more separate parts of knowledge and to make a greater understanding from those two or more different parts of knowledge. It's understanding that really counts. So I envision schools that teach some of the stuff I teach in this show. Not because it's my favorite subject, but because the teaching of things that I call ageless wisdom helps people to develop higher consciousness. It helps people to realize that the universe is a very inclusive place and everything is interconnected through mind of God. And if it wasn't, we would live in a very chaotic and terrible place. But we probably wouldn't even be alive today. At any rate, so I envision new schools, maybe in competition with some of the old ones, but new schools and with people with the freedom and right to attend these new schools, where education has an emphasis on the development of consciousness, problem solving, and the creation of virtue, including the virtue of truth. It helps to teach people to think and to think in ways that are creative of light. It has some religious issues in it for some people, because while it's non-religious, in my opinion, others may consider it religious because it teaches the existence of God. For atheists, this could be a bitter pill. Maybe they won't want to go to the schools I'm talking about. Maybe they'll try to find schools or create schools to just build consciousness without including God. I don't know how to do that exactly, because God is part of the system in which consciousness is created. But for those who want to try otherwise, I wish them well. The important part of this plan is freedom. You have to have freedom to think, freedom to make errors, freedom to challenge known, quote-unquote, beliefs, thoughts, knowledge, even facts. And the ability to be creative. Creative of anything and everything that a person finds of interest. And it may lead to great mistakes and sometimes wasted resources at times from those mistakes, because you can't be creative without challenging the system of thought, some of which may be right and you're wrong. So that's just the way it is. But the challenge is important because it ensures to find either more truth in the thought that already exists or that there is a lack of truth and new truth needs to be found. This is what I suggest as a school model, a teaching model that employs thought as its premise of development rather than knowledge. Knowledge can be used and can be sometimes learned. But even that knowledge needs to be challenged by thought itself, so that new knowledge may suddenly and spontaneously be discovered as larger and larger groups of people are learning to think and practicing it in educational environments where they're free to do so. This is what I hope. This is what I wish for Christmas of 2030. A world that has that kind of education leads to a world of what is known as universal inclusiveness. People become not only humble, but far more deep in their thought without developing arrogance. It's relatively easy to become humble if you don't increase your thinking. It becomes more difficult to not become arrogant by dramatically increasing your thinking and still realizing you can be very wrong. And you need to be open-minded and listen to the thoughts of others. Unfortunately, that's one of the problems today. We have so many in so many high places of government and elsewhere who have gotten their degrees and gone to various schools and learned certain ways of thinking and believe they know best for the rest of us. We have high levels of arrogance and yet relatively low levels of consciousness. This is a terrible condition, and we're running into it all over the place. It's one of the reasons that we have some of the worst problems we're facing. It's because those who are making the decisions are arrogant. And they don't think the way I'm suggesting, and they would never support an educational system along the lines that I'm proposing. They want to run the educational system in such a way that they dictate what's right and wrong. They want to even govern, presently, in today's world, in the United States. Our president and his executive branch now want us to eat certain things, want us to think certain ways, want us to use the internet a certain way, want us to get health care in a certain way. They want to control everything. The need to control is the road to evil. Those who have not reached the end of the road in evil are inevitably on their way to it. Remember that. And remember that those who say, well, I know better, or I know best, are the most ignorant of all. They deserve whatever befalls them, because inevitably what will happen to them will be all the control they thought they had, they will lose. And instead it will be replaced with some of the worst forces they've ever dreamt of. It may take some time, but that's where they're headed for. Beware if you're doing that. So control is a big problem, and the second-ray issue becomes a major battleground for it. The control of the minds and hearts of young people, oftentimes. Maybe not so young if you consider college students. This is a big deal. Without open-mindedness in our educational system, we're headed for others controlling us and leading us into tyranny. Now let's move on to the first part of God's mind, the first ray type of energy. And that itself is freedom itself. And this energy is the key to really finding God and being a part of God's system of thought. When it is lacking, as it is today, and it's trying to be stifled, you end up with those who are doing the stifling as being on the side of evil. I don't care if you call them communists, Marxists, socialists, Maoists, whatever you want to call them, progressives. They're people who think they know more than everybody else and believe they have a right to control others because of that knowledge that they think is so important. And they're almost always sure they're right until their whole world falls apart around them due to tremendous forces from oftentimes almost always being wrong. They're victims of both themselves and eventually of others who rebel against them. How do we deal with this for 2030, when right now we seem to be headed in exactly the wrong direction? Well, I'll tell you. Freedom. Freedom is the answer. Make your decisions today and in any time in the near future about whether or not the government and those who claim to be in control of you are either becoming less controlling, less powerful, less large in their power, or more so. If any choice they're making, and you do have to choose about their making, leads them to have more power and more control, regardless of whether it's about something that overall seems like it might be okay for other people, go against it. Because the bigger issue is not whether or not some group of people is going to get this or that thing in the next year or two or 5 years or whatever, but whether or not those that are in control and power are gaining more power to be in more control, to be more tyrannical more destructive to free thinking, free actions, free enterprise, free markets, and the ability to freely explore and be a part of co-creation with God. Others might call them anti-business or anti-this or that, but that's the bottom line. And so we need to change our thought process about small issues and look at the big picture. The big picture is always about power and control. Diminish the power and control. See how the others react that you're doing it to, and that tells you tremendous amounts about where they're really coming from. Right now, our government needs to be reduced by at least half to survive, and probably by 3/4 to prosper. That's a huge amount. Are you willing to make the efforts to do that by reining in those who want to control us, those who want the power to do so, and eventually forcing them out of office and out of being in control? We have the ability to do that now. In 5 or 10 years, we will no longer have that ability if things continue as they are. Then we'll be slaves, and this country will have ended as we know it. We don't want that. We could do something now. We can do something today about it. Remember, it's about having the bigger vision of seeing whether or not it gives more power and control to others. I know some of you may be socialists out there and you want the government to get bigger so it'll do all the right things to help people in certain ways. Government doesn't do that. Government is destructive. Government is a necessary evil, and therefore needs to be extremely limited and constantly and vigilantly supervised and prevented from growing. Because those who seek to be members of government are those oftentimes who seek power and control. They are the least people that we should be voting in, but we tend to do that because they worked so hard to get there. We're fooled by the lies that they say. They learn how to tell us how they're going to give us what we think we want through their great plans. Government can only do some very limited things, provided it is kept limited, to be of help. It can help to keep us secure. Secure internally and externally, provided that it does not infringe on our ability to keep ourselves secure. Someone says, well, I'm taking your guns away because I'm going to protect you. And then when someone comes up to you who has an illegal gun and says, give me all your money, and you say, well, the government's protecting me, you can't have it, and they shoot you. And then you say, well, why didn't the government protect me? Because it can't. Can't do that. The best the government can do is maybe find and prosecute the person who did that. Maybe. But oftentimes, nothing. Can't do anything. That's a terrible, terrible outcome. So when we look at the most important and precious thing we have is freedom, and we realize that government is the reducer of freedom, then we need to be vigilant about keeping government extremely small and only in certain areas of life. What are some of the things that I suggest now for 2030 on my Christmas list? Well, I myself am turning 62 years old. I think it's something like that. Whatever it is. Yeah. I think I'm turning 63, actually. Whatever. As I move towards that older age, I could be saying, gee, isn't this great? Soon I'm going to have Medicare, I'm going to have Social Security, and all this stuff. I suggest that those things become need-operated safety nets rather than entitlements. Someone gets Social Security if they absolutely don't have sufficient money to live on. If you have sufficient money either in savings or through continued work or through other means, inheritance, whatever, that you don't get any Social Security. That's it. Social Security is no longer what it used to be. Because what it used to be has been disabling and crippling to our economy. And whatever money is paid into Social Security can only be used for Social Security. That's my suggestion. But it won't be Social Security really anymore. What about this Medicare, Medicaid business? Well, I know there's people who need some supplemental money to pay for various medical issues. Fine. They're covered. But the rest of us, we're not. You can afford to pay your $10 or $100 visit or whatever it's going to be. You pay for it. That's it. If you want private insurance, you can choose to buy that. But it's not publicly funded. Same thing with quote-unquote drugs. Speaking of drugs, let's get rid of the FDA. They don't do any good anyway. Let's make it simple. If someone wants to voluntarily prove that their drug is good for you, they can pay for and have the FDA say it is. But if the FDA says, well, we have no idea whether a drug is good for you or not, you can still use it, buy it, whatever you want. It's at your risk. And if it's, quote, unquote, a supplement or something other than that, it's the same principle. The FDA can't come in like a Nazi and say, we will tell you what drugs you can take and what you can't. Because we're going to make sure that things are okay for you. Well, you're going to choose for yourself what's okay for yourself. This is the government I see. So the government doesn't cost anything, if you think about it, as far as the FDA is concerned, because that's paid by the people who want to participate in the program. That's a self-paid-for program. That's the way I see most of the governing agencies that people claim are doing so much good for us, especially FCC. They're taking over the Internet because they think the Internet needs their control now. I just get rid of them completely. Totally useless. They were only useful in the 1930s. Unuseful today. Forget about it. There's no reason to determine what's going to be on or off the air. Let the market decide that. Free markets, free enterprise. And let's make sure that that's maintained by having stronger anti-monopoly laws. Prevent one business from trying to drive other businesses unfairly out of business by their market share alone. They have to prove they can drive other people out of business because they have better products or better service. That's fine. But not because of their market share or their ability to control the market through their market share. And we do a better job with that, and then we have the freest markets possible. So we get a lot of tremendous amounts of regulation goes bye-bye. Tremendous amounts. What about defense? Let's open defense to a joint venture between government and private industry. Different than the present thing of the government putting out contracts that people bid on. That's nonsense. Let's just say you come to the government and say, I have a better weapon system, and let me show and prove it to you. And if nobody can come up with a better one than the one you've got at that time, and it's something the government thinks is useful, it says, okay, we'll go for that. Let's do that. And if it can't be proven to be useful to the government, the people can decide that they want it still, because we have a representative government, the defense contractor, business can say, well, this is really useful, and they show people why it's useful and how it's useful, and then people can decide whether certain representatives are good or not good to have in their deciding that sort of thing. Let's make it that the people that we do vote in, we also vote where they serve. So they can't be in a place where we don't want them to be, on a certain committee doing a certain thing that we don't think that's good for us. Let's have limited terms. I suggest maybe 3 terms as representative, 2 terms as senator, and keep the 2 terms for president. That's what I suggest. You don't like it? Too bad. None of these czar guys anymore. If you're not approved by Congress, you can't serve in government. Congress must approve all people who are in a decision-making position in the government. You can't go around Congress any longer. And let's also maybe do this, something I suggested. I don't know if we can do this by 2030, that you have a supermajority of people. If they vote over the Internet, they can have a direct democracy. The danger of direct democracy in the past has been a concern of mob rule. But I don't think that's where we're at anymore. And at 60% or more of the people needing to vote in a certain way before they supplant the representatives they've sent to Washington, that's a pretty safe position. At least 60% of the people have to vote in favor or against a representative before that representative's vote doesn't count. And then that representative would just be an advisor until less than 60% of the people vote against what that representative is saying. That's a kind of a very far-out idea. I'm not sure we're ready for that by 2030, but maybe. It's something to leave on the table. Let's change some amendments around. I'm convinced now that the 17th Amendment, want to change the senators being directly elected. I think it was better to have them elected by the legislatures of the states, giving the states more strength and rights, and balancing out the Senate. Because right now it isn't working very well. Let's make it mostly illegal for some of the kinds of lobbying that takes place. Lobbying that involves any kind of gifting or other kinds of manipulation. Freedom of ideas is fine, but this business of corruption must end. And let's stop senators and congresspeople from voting on things to just get some kind of material advantage to their state. Maybe give each of them a certain amount that they can do for their state, but not that they can vote for only bills that help their state against all the bills that don't, which, of course, are called earmarks. That needs to be worked on some. And how about this? How about making it that no person can run for government or be elected to government and function in government who is against, through either laws enacted or executive orders, the free market system, the right to free enterprise, or against any of the civil liberties and civil rights that are listed within the Constitution. If someone does that, they can be impeached immediately. brought in for impeachment because they're working against the Constitution. And let's get the Constitution brushed off and make sure that it's working again. And attempt to get our country back to a country of truth and reason, and that follows the rights of law that come from the rights given to us by God. That kind of country would no longer be the country we live in now, and if by 2030, if we change these first-rate parts of our country, we will live in a place in which people will have the freedom to be dozens of times more creative than we are today. Because at the present time, we are regulated, taxed, and removed from the potential of being the maximum level of co-creation with God or of virtue that we are all available to do. Now, does this mean the system doesn't have safety nets in it for people who are hurt or disadvantaged? No, it has all of those. And they work better because they're not in competition with entitlement programs that 90% of the people who function within don't need. And they only give government more control over us. Let's look at a system in which freedom is the hallmark. Freedom is the hallmark of what government is supposed to be about. Maintaining that we are all going to be as free as possible. Let's judge our politicians by how well they achieve those goals. And the amount that they prevent those from happening, let's get rid of them. That's my suggestion. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that we shouldn't have great compassion for those who are disadvantaged. We should build systems, including in our education system, that because if you have free thinking in the education system, you have more people that become entrepreneurs, and that's the way to gain more wealth than working for others. And let's reward those who work for others in ways that don't make them slaves to a system, but it gives them a hand up without having to work in a union that is bullying people. Now, are unions bad in general? No. You can have a union, a group of workers who want to assert certain things that they think aren't right about their working environment and their job. There's no reason you can't have that. But when they're run by people who are corrupt and who are using the union system as a means of power to join with politicians in Washington and elsewhere to control the lives of the people that supposedly are their members, that's a terrible system. That couldn't be any worse. If you're Lucifer yourself trying to figure out the best devilish way to make a bad system, that's a real bad system. So all these things, I hope for Christmas of 2030 to be much better. I would love to live in the United States in 2030 and practice Christmas, or any other country in the world, under these guidelines. Well, that's it. We're out of time for right now. Until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for My Life Is.